It's been an amazing morning already, isn't it? Just wonderful to see the remarkable way that so many people have worked really so hard to this point. And I want to thank them, and we just want to recognise God's wonderful provision of in giving us the giftedness that we've seen already, and I just stand amazed, and it's just been wonderful that we can have this opportunity. I just wonder, Jen, how many people have come down to see you yet?
Two.
Okay, it's two sign-ups. Yeah, that's so good. Just a couple of things, just talk about yourself. Ben, I think I'll hold that video off to tonight, so just for you. If you've got a piece of paper on the way in, can you grab that and wave that? Can you? There you go. I just cannot emphasise enough. This is going to be, that paper may be one of the greatest blessings for you in 2023. That is, we are going to go on a bit of a journey reading through the New Testament in 2023. And if we can discover something deeper of the intimacy of the relationship with Jesus, I swear to you that's going to be more important than if you had $1,000 in your hands, all right? I guarantee at the end of the year, if you can actually find something more of an intimacy with Jesus, you'd be glad to pay me $1,000 for that bit of paper. I have no doubt. Because a greater intimacy with our Lord and Saviour would go beyond anything we can imagine. And if I'll be so disappointed if by the end of 2023 and you enter into this with your heart open and willing to engage, I will be so disappointed if you cannot say to me it was worth it. And you got it for free this morning. There's more there on the way out. We're going to have an online version like we've been doing, but if you can't do the online version, there's one version you can be involved with. Oh, we're going to have it on the Bible app, and I'll send that information around pretty soon through the news. But I can't believe it's only 5 days until Christmas, can you? I know it's 14 days, that's why I can't believe it's 5 days until Christmas. But let me lay before you your year. I'm going to lay before you. The year has gone so fast, hasn't it? Christmas has snuck up on us this year. I'm not even ready for Christmas. How did we get here so fast? How did the year come and go so quickly? Christmas will happen, and those post-Christmas shopping will be on the news again. You know, all the people lined up like animals to the slaughter, ready to go and spend their money. And then we're going to have that strange time between Christmas and New Year where we're going to be wandering around saying, well, I don't even know what day it is today. What day is it? You know, this time between Christmas and New Year's, we just don't know what to do with ourselves. What day is it? We're going to have the New Year's Eve celebration on the ABC. The fireworks, and no one will even notice if they repeat last year's celebration. Honestly, they could just change a few colours and it's going to be exactly the same, and they're going to spend 6 hours trying to tell us how exciting it is and how enthused it is to, and the reason for us to stay on watching 6 hours of live coverage of people trying to say something about something, waiting for a few flashes of light at 9 o'clock and midnight. We'll have our New Year's Day. It's always good. Let's hope it's a hot day again. Bit of heat won't hurt us. It is summer. But we're going to have all those new exercise routines ready, aren't we? Those new diets, you know? These things, the resolutions, they're going to last probably a good 5 or 6 days, okay? And so we'll stick with them wholeheartedly. But the second day of the year, we're going to see Valentine's Day advertisements come out away. Second or third day of the year. And that will just be the same time that we'll see Easter eggs at Coles and Woolworths, won't we? The hot cross buns, And we'll say, can you believe it? Coles got the hot cross bun already. It's only in January. Australia Day. Oh, no, skip too far. But, you know, back to school sales. Okay, they will come way too early, won't they? And we'll find ourselves wanting to buy new pencils and books before we realise that we don't go to school anymore. We haven't been to school for years. Australia Day is going to be that day where we're going to sort of stretch it out because we know it's the last real time where we can say it's the summer holidays. You know, we're going to stretch that out as long as we can because we know we've got to get back to work. And then there'll be culture wars about that, you know, whether it's Invasion Day or whether it's we should be defending our flag, and that'll all happen and people will get all upset both ways and life will be just normal, won't it? School's going to start. Blink, blink. Easter's upon us. Easter will come very quickly. And then with Easter, of course, we'll be remembering Mother's Day. And when Mother's Day is coming, on the way up to Mother's Day, all the advertising, we're going to have to roll up our sleeves because we're going to have flu shots and probably the 10th COVID booster shot ready for our winter. And at the same time, we're going to get those EFS sales, you know, the end of financial year where the car with the bow on there, and they're going to try and encourage us to spend up big for the end of the year. Around that time, you guys are going to be giving a lot of money to chaplaincy that we're involved with. You're going to, because you want to get the tax deduction, won't you? So you guys are going to be saving up all that money, and bam, in June we're going to have all our chaplains funded for the next 2 years because you want to get that tax deduction. Well, there's going to be, because after that, there's going to be the colds and the flus will hit us. You know, the winter will come again. And during winter, we'll also see the Father's Day advertising us because heaven forbid we might go a week or two without needing to spend money for something or having someone advertising something. Well, around the start of spring, we might see a flood or two. We might see the bushfire will come. Bushfires might start coming again. Around October, we're going to start complaining because Christmas trees are in the shops again. We're going to get tired, we're going to get annoyed, and things are going to get really busy. We're going to be eating too much, we're going to be trying to see everyone, and suddenly it's going to be the week before Christmas, and we're going to say, the year has gone fast, hasn't it? Has Christmas snuck up on us this year? I'm not really ready for Christmas. How did we get here so fast? How did the year come and go so quickly? Then we'll rinse and repeat, and it'll be 2024. Let me say, there's only 379 days till Christmas next year. So let's not worry about Christmas this year. Let's just get ready for Christmas next year, because then we'll have enough time to get ready. Well, in the Christian calendar, this is a season, and it's not a very big thing amongst Baptists. And if you're outside, if you come from a non-Baptist tradition, you'll understand what Advent means. Advent is a word which means the coming. And even as we've been looking at, we just started a new 14-day online devotion about Advent, looking at the names of Jesus. Advent talks about his coming. And Israel, for hundreds of years before the coming of the king, was looking forward to the day where this long sought for, desired Messiah would come and save them. For hundreds of years, I mean, because for 400 years, there was no message from God in the form of the prophets like there had been previously. For 400 years, and so Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, we read this: I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. Looking forward to the day that God will come to his temple, the Lord will come to the temple. Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, the last two verses of the Old Testament. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total desolation. Silence. 400 years. Nothing proclaimed. God has said all he's going to say. 400 years. Longing for this day to come. Looking for it. They didn't know when it would happen. It could have been happening any time. But they were longing for that day for the Messiah. Silence for 400 years. Let's imagine that Jesus was born on the 25th of December, year zero, okay? I think most of us know that's probably not the birth date of Jesus. We shouldn't be too worried about that. There's many people in the world, say, who don't know when their birth date was. I know people who really have no idea, come from overseas often, where there's not good administration and accounting and recording. We don't know the exact day Jesus was born, but let's just for a moment assume it was the 25th of December, year zero, okay? Imagine, and here we are, 14 days before Christmas. Imagine this day is the 11th of December, year zero, okay? Jesus hasn't come. Let's just imagine for a moment that we are, today's date is the 11th of December, year zero. And I want us to think about the people in that narrative story that we know so well, but what were they doing? Well, we know Joseph and Mary, they were probably getting ready to go to Bethlehem because she was 8.5 months pregnant, and she can't avoid the fact that Jesus is coming. You know, she's 8.5 months pregnant. But look at these people. The next slide will probably... Here we have some people that you probably would remember. The Magi. The word Magi comes from a Greek word, and it's not hard for us to see the connection with magic. These are the wizards, the sorcerers of the day, the scientists, the people who search the stars. And if you remember Daniel, they talk about the satraps and magicians who all were diviners. And this is who these group are. There's three here, but we know, of course, that there may or may not have been three. They're the learned. They are the people who have a reputation to be able to scour the skies and to see something of what God is doing. And on December 11th, year zero, by that time, I assume, we don't know the dates real well, but they had seen this thing in the sky. Somehow God, in his mercy and his grace, has communicated to them that this is really significant, that there is a king coming, and even they who are probably of a high class, more than anyone else, they need to actually pursue this man, this Messiah, and need to sit down and worship him. So I'm assuming that these magi, these wise men, they weren't kings. So show you some carols, we three kings, they get it wrong. They're not kings, but they are people of a high class and some Gentiles. They don't know the true living God, but somehow God has communicated them and they're searching out for the Messiah. Let me tell you about this guy here, who's King Herod. King Herod was, he was the king of Israel this time. He was very old. He'd been on the throne for some time. He had 2,000 personal soldiers as bodyguards because he was so scared he was going to be dethroned. This guy is just one of those guys in history known to be evil. killed his, doesn't mind killing his wives, his children, who he feared were plotting against him, his own daughters, his family. He had no trouble with killing people, terribly paranoid, and probably had a good reason to be paranoid. He's a horrible person. So just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you. I mean, people were probably out to get him because he's such a horrible person. He did appease the Jews because he actually started this big building program, and the temple of God went doubled in size. And do you remember when Jesus was saying about how he's going to destroy the temple and raise up in 3 days? And they laughed at him, like, what, are you greater than this temple here who's taken 46 years to build? This guy did that program. For 46 years, this guy was building the temple. I wonder what was happening for him on December 11, year zero. I don't think he was looking out for the Messiah. He was certainly looking out for any rivals to kill. He was a horrible person. But here, one of the people actually that should have been looking out for God's purpose, he was only about his own purpose. The shepherds. We've got this remarkable romantic view of the shepherds, don't we? We love the shepherds. But no one loved the shepherds when on the 11th of December, year zero, no one loved them in their culture. They were, I think the polite term is the, you know, in Europe they got the Roma. Previously they'd be called gypsies. That's who the shepherds were. They were despised people. They had a terrible reputation. They were. If something went missing, it was the shepherds. They were despised in everyday life. They were not trusted. Some shepherds earned poor reputations. In the Mishnah, that's the Jewish writings of the day, they were described as incompetent. Another says that no one should ever feel obligated to rescue a shepherd who had fallen in a pit. Okay? So if they fell in a pit, you're not obligated. Just walk on by. They're so evil. They could not hold judicial offices. To buy wool or milk or a baby goat from a shepherd was forbidden on the assumption it was stolen property. So years ago in Australian culture, if a truckie came in to the pub and said, look, I've got this thing, it's just fallen off the back of the truck, that's what these guys were like. 11th of December, year zero, what were they doing? They're in the fields. They're working. They're probably scheming. How do I get a bit of a quick buck? What do I do with this? How do I not get caught? How do I look after my sheep? That was happening for them. Simeon and Anna. Here is we're back in Jerusalem now, and Simeon was called a righteous and devout person. He was looking for the consolation, the establishment of Israel, the true Israel. He was looking for that. And the Holy Spirit, and it really thrills me, the fact that there's a Holy Spirit-filled person there in the temple, and the Holy Spirit said to him that he will see the Messiah before he dies. 11th of December, year zero, what was he doing? He was looking, wasn't he? Anyone who came, because when you get to the point you're a bit old, you know, it's got to happen soon. And so he was looking, but anyone who came in, is that him? Do I know him? You can imagine, couldn't you? He was searching out the Messiah. And we've got Anna. She's called a prophet. She was very old. She'd lived with her husband for 7 years of her marriage and then was a widowed until she was 84. So she's 84. She's been married for 7 years. A small part of her life. But amazes me, she was defined as a prophetess. And she was also looking, because obviously her and probably Simeon had been talking about what's going to happen. But she, when she, on the 11th of December, year zero, these two faithful people were looking out for the Messiah to see where the Messiah is going to come from. Where is God going to act? Because he's promised, I'm expecting God to act, God to work. Think of the people of Bethlehem. I've got a slide for Bethlehem. This is just the model, of course. 11th of December, year zero. They have no idea of the horror that's going to come ahead of them, do they? They have no idea. Come tonight and I'll maybe show you a bit more of the of what they would have experienced. So I've got a wonderful clip. There's two layers for Advent, looking forward to Jesus come. And I think this is where we Baptists maybe in not remembering Advent really do suffer, because also it's a time for us to remember Jesus' second coming. So there's here we have us waiting for the coming of our Lord. We're waiting for Jesus to come. And so in Advent, we sing, O come, Emmanuel. And that can be sung up there, but also it can be sung here, God with us. Could you come now? Could you, we're longing, a sense of longing because things aren't right with the world. Lord, would you come now? Come thou long expected Jesus. Could be sung up there or it could be sung here. Because, Lord, would you come? There's a song, Freedom is Coming. And for us who are in Christ, we are looking for the freedom to come. Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, the King shall come when morning dawns. These are the songs that are sung traditionally in Advent, remembering that this, looking back to the way Israel had to long for God to act, and we are today longing for God to act. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we see Paul writes, Maranatha, which means come, Lord. And it was probably one of those, you know, things that were shouted, Hallelujah, Maranatha, come, Lord, because we're actually suffering. We're longing for the Lord to come. Lord, would you come? And in times of struggles and hardships in life, and which is a lot of time, part of our world today, places like Ukraine, wouldn't they be crying out, come Lord Jesus, come? Wouldn't they be crying out? Where places where children can't even get clean water? Wouldn't, as your parent, wouldn't you be saying, Lord, just come now? I'm longing for my Saviour to come. Lord, would you come now? Let's for a moment assume that we are 14 days away from Jesus coming. Christmas Day, you're not going to open your Christmas presents. You're not going to have that lunch because our Lord Jesus Christ is coming that morning. And here we are 14 days away from that. And the question I want to ask you today is, are you longing for that day? Are you going to be disappointed he comes? Lord, can you just come the week after? Are we longing for our Lord Jesus Christ to come back? He's coming, and just like Herod, just like the shepherds, just like Anna and Simeon, just like Herod, they were once 14 days away from Jesus coming. There'll be a day when we're 14 days away from Jesus coming again. And it may be today, or maybe less. Maybe 12 days. We may not get to do carols. Thanks, guys, for your help, but Jesus is coming and we're not going to do that at all. I want to read from Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. Jesus speaks about this. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household? To give them their food at the proper time. It is good for those servants whose masters find him doing so when he returns. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away for a long time, and then he begins to beat his fellow servants to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of the servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him the place with hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Just have a look at that passage. How is faithfulness measured? Now, I think you really need to know this, because I want to be a faithful servant. Now, I'm assuming that you want to be faithful. So we've got to be clear in our minds, how is faithfulness measured when Jesus comes on that Christmas morning in 14 days' time? How will... Verse 46. "It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns." When he's doing what he is expected, when we recognise that we have a Lord, a master who is coming back, he's given us a task to perform, and we, when we have been found to be being faithful to that, that is the mark, the measure of faithfulness. What do you make of verse 47? Faithfulness is rewarded. Now, it's hard for us to understand our future existences, you know, like I just, but there's so many passages in the Bible which continually talks about rewards for those who are faithful, greater rewards for those who show greater faithfulness. I always struggle to know what to do with these, but there's just too many to ignore. Jesus laid beside his divinity to become human in human flesh. He took his divinity, he put that aside. God become flesh. But no longer is Jesus the meek and mild, humble guy that we read in the Gospels. I mean, there's all that, but there's much more. He's the exalted and risen Lord. Like he's powerful. He's glorious. You know, when you think of Jesus today, you might look back and think of Jesus meek and mild, but I would rather you be thinking of Jesus as he is now, exalted for all heaven and earth, receiving the praise and the worship of God, of God's heavenly host, and we would rightfully bow down on our knees and worship him from all eternity without getting up, and that would not be enough. That's the Lord and Saviour we follow, and that's the Lord and Saviour that's going to be revealed to us one day, in my scenario, in 14 days, Christmas morning, before we even open the presents. It's going to be that Jesus, not the baby Jesus. It's going to be the glorious, mighty Jesus. You're going to meet your Lord. So let me ask you, are you going to be faithful? What has distracted you from longing for Jesus to come back? Because I know in my own heart the things that distract me, the things that actually, I honestly think, oh, maybe a month later, they're the things that are probably my idols. They're my gods. So December 25th, God willing, I'll be here doing the Christmas service. But we've got to be ready for the day that Jesus will come back. So it's a good question for you to ponder. I know life's busy. You just tell Jesus that when he comes, all right? I've been really busy, Jesus. I've been stressed out. Do you know what it's like to try to get the right presents? I'm just really glad that, it's just one. There's a table up the back. That's a part of faithfulness. And if you're, like, you work it out with God, you know, like, you have to work things out. I'm not saying that everyone has to sign up for everything. I'm not saying that you have to sign up or you're going to be judged. Because in the end, we're all going to face our Maker, and we're all going to we're going to have to give an account for our life. So I'm going to pray. I can just imagine there's going to be a rush down to that table. And so I'm going to pray, and then Phil's going to get up and say something. And so I'll pray first. Let me pray first. Father, oh Lord, you're a gracious God. What a beautiful thing that we don't have to answer for our sins to our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I just thank you, Lord, for the blessing that is? And as we want to be faithful to you, we know that each one of us knows the struggles of life. But Lord, could we long for you more? Could we actually long for that day? Lord, 14 days is too long. Could it be today? Would you come, Lord, send Lord Jesus today? Lord, because we want to see our Lord and Saviour. Oh, I'm just going to pray, Lord, for each one here. Lord, challenge our hearts. Lord, I don't want to guilt anyone out, but Lord, the Holy Spirit, can you challenge our hearts to be faithful to you? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.